Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us live worldwide here on CUTV News Radio, a service of the award-winning CUTV News. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. And we have a very special guest. We're going to be talking about coaching, leadership, and so much more. You know, studies have shown that 70 to 80% of all workers are actually disengaged, and that might even be you, somebody listening to our show right now who feels as though maybe they're in a rut, they're stuck, they're not really performing at their top level, perhaps they don't feel appreciated, maybe you just don't feel like you're making a difference or that you're enjoying the work anymore. Well, whatever the case may be, and a lot of people say that that is, if you're talking 70 to 80% of workers saying that, that's a high number, and that disengagement is the result of a crisis in leadership. Now, what's needed really is employees who are engaged and leaders who will engage them, not just have the employees over here and then the leader up in the ivory tower, and there's no intermingling, there's no working together, rolling up the sleeves. Everything is changing now, and the image of the boss and of the leader is changing as well. A lot are more hands-on, and they're bringing the employees and the staff into discussions of movement and growth within the company. Dr. Sidney Scott is the creator of The Alchemist Professors, which is a coaching and organizational consulting collective specializing in both personal and organizational change. She's based in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The Alchemist is the highest level of leadership where the people come first, according to Dr. Scott. They are the most successful leaders. They know what others know, and they know themselves. She works with her clients to bring them to that level. According to Dr. Scott, an effective leader creates synergy. Dr. Scott uses coaching, consulting, and training as a vehicle to educate and transform her clients. She says it's always about growing self-awareness. A true boss's job is making sure everyone under them has everything they need to do their job exceptionally well. That's a leader, not self, but others. That makes a huge difference. And according to Dr. Scott, in order to have effective, healthy organizational cultures, there really has to be effective leadership. That's very, very important. And we're not getting leadership. We're getting fear these days. It's really about creating possibility for people, allowing them to be who they are. That's what we're supposed to be doing, working with people and helping them feel good about what they are, and respect them. And, of course, dignity is a part of the equation as well. A good leader is easy to see. This is a terrific topic, and it's also topical as well, because there is a massive shift. There's a lot of changes going on in society these days and in the workplace, so this is really perfect timing for Dr. Sidney Scott to be on our show. Again, she is the creator of The Alchemist Professor, and the website is thealchemistprofessors.com. So you can check that out after the show. It is ripe with terrific information as well. But first, let's welcome Dr. Sidney Scott to CUTV News Radio. Dr. Scott, an honor and pleasure to have you with us on the show today. Welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here. I look forward to talking to people about how we can make the world better.
Now, you hold a doctorate in leadership and change, and your dissertation was on how to help people move into their own wisdom. And as a result, coaching was really a natural fit for you, and you began coaching back in 1995. Tell us a little bit about when you first realized that this was the kind of work that you were meant for, that you were destined to do, and decided to pursue. When did that spark, that aha moment happen for you, Dr. Scott?
Well, you know, I've always found the aha moments happen when the universe offers you something you didn't expect. And it offered it to me when I was working here. I was working at Simon Fraser, and British Columbia Institute of Technology recruited me to develop a new competency-based, 100% competency-based business degree. And it was delivered by coaching. And I understood, you see, when we teach business, it doesn't work with most of the brains of the really good business people. The way we teach is not the way business people learn. But coaching is much more conducive to how they learn, how they get the material they need. Business people are always only want what they need right now. And coaching allows you to do that. So that's how I got into coaching, is through my teaching. And I incorporate the two.
So you've been doing it for a number of years now. And what was that moment for you when you said that you wanted to create the Alchemist Professors? When did you decide, you know, I really need to create something that, you know, facilitates the experience of leadership and trains and shows and mentors and coaches other people? When did that happen, to actually create the Alchemist Professors?
It happened when I was in Mexico, actually. Every time, you know, you work an administrative job and you work as a leader, and then you go on a holiday and you start journaling. But my journal was always about doing the Alchemist Professors. Then I decided, I'm not coaching myself, am I? I guess I better step into it.
Yeah. So it was what I like, too, is that you were journaling, which is old school and which is so effective and is very important, while other people are doing selfies.
Yes. No, one thing I find is, you know, the miracles are within you. So it's helping people know themselves. That's where you find the miracles, not outside, but inside. So I journal, I reflect, I meditate every day because I need to go into that space to connect. And that makes me better at what I do.
That's right. Absolutely. I love the name, the Alchemist Professors. How did you come up with that? And then tell us a little bit about some of the incredible work that you do, how it all really came together.
Well, the Alchemist Professors was part of my dissertation. I spent 2 years trying to find a definition of wisdom that academics would accept. And in finding that, I found that there was a system of adult development that was related and with good research on business leaders. And so when you look at how we develop the big leaders, and you know, the good to great, Jim Collins talks about leaders, those leaders that we say are really big have moved into post-conventional ways of knowing themselves. They know themselves deeper than what we teach at university. They've gone the next step, and that next step reduces the ego and allows people to support others. That next step removes from fear, and that next step allows people to make decisions that they feel are morally right. So they work with their moral compass more, and leader works with their moral compass, we can count on them. We can trust them. Even if we don't have all the same, we know their consistency, right? And we understand by values. When leaders don't appear to have values, then we don't know how to follow them. So it's all, it's a bay of, when we go into knowing ourselves more, we let others know us deeper. And that allows us to have great influence.
It's really true. That's an interesting perspective. It's a great way to really think about it. It really all comes back to ourselves, doesn't it, about what we're willing to share, about tapping into ourselves and finding the answers within. I love what you said at the beginning, because a lot of times we're always looking for something outside of ourselves to be that golden answer, but you show people how to find it within. And even with, like you mentioned, academics, academics generally, I think the thinking is that they like to stay in academia. They tend not to drift into the corporate sector, but that isn't always what happens, right?
Well, here's the thing. That the areas that I teach, which is change, which is rampant right now, and leadership, how can I do that without telling them about the personal struggle to be that person? When I was teaching originally in this area, I would teach the models. I'm going, well, that's really stupid, because you are the leader, not a model. You, your energy. So I had to work with the you of the leaders, not just with the model. Telling people what to do, well, we've seen that. People reading, you know, prompts that aren't their words, we all know. It's really clear, right? We're not fooled so easily. And I've worked with bosses that, oh, we're going to go the hedgehog. I'm going, do you even understand the model? No. That's not it. You know, memorizing this models, I went, I'm wasting my time. But letting them understand that they are the ones that lead. And what I say, leaders manage the energy. And that's why I say leaders need to go into trust versus fear. You are responsible for the energy of you walk into your corporation or you walk into your department. Doesn't matter how small your group is, you are 100% responsible for that energy.
Are you finding a crisis in leadership these days?
Yes, because there's a phenomenal book, if I could tell people to read, that I really think spells why we're doing it. And the book is by Thomas Friedman. Thank you for being late. And it's that we've got such rapid change, and we've got such fear going around, and the change is deeper and more rapid than we've ever experienced. More so than ever, the leader's got to create, as he said, the center of the hurricane, that calm. We go into the center, we can work with a change. The leader's got to create that, and it's not through fear. It's through trusting and believing in your people that they can do what's needed to come for success. That is so essential. And if the leader doesn't believe it, then I and the leader need to work together so we can figure out how to do that so they can believe.
Figure it. Right. So in essence, what would you say then, Doctor, is your philosophy and approach as a coach? How do you like to work with your clients themselves? And when your clients work with you, do you see a running thread with them? Are they all experiencing sort of the same similar situations when they come to you, or is every case different? It's not a cookie cutter
situation. Every case is different, and part of the work, you know, for my doctorate, I had to take a course where I could define which level people were by talking to them, by their stories. I had to prove that. And I still use that. So I know I can only change people so much. So when you get people early in their career, they often are from an area, an expert. If you think of it, we studied the books and we get our first degree and we go in, we think things are going to work like the models in the book, and we start telling people all the models, right? And I remember I think corrected my dad in business. No, Dad, the book says you're supposed to do it this way. Right. And we come out like this, and the only thing that is our comfort blanket is our education or the models we studied, right? And anything beyond that, we go into fear. So I can only take those people so far. But then if people have been out and they're more, they're starting to understand people are critical, they start become slightly more aware, then I can work more on it. So I work with people depending on where they are. But, you know, and I can only do so much change in a year or 2 years. But it is all a process. The good thing about it, I think, is you're never too old to start becoming a better leader, because it's a process of becoming a better person. So it's always there.
Exactly.
There's always growth.
That's a sensational way to look at it. It's so true. It really is becoming the better person. It's always thought of, sometimes people interchange the word leader with boss, the boss. And when you hear
I purposely
the word
didn't
boss,
don't do that. Yeah. The boss is only
right,
one level
exactly.
of leader. Yeah.
And sometimes that incites dread or something when they hear the boss. And it gives a different feeling than a leader, because a leader, you think of inspiring, you think of empowerment, you think of encouragement, when it's just a word that to me just has much more of a positive bent to it than sometimes the word boss. And I think we're moving away from that into more of the use of leader. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, I think we are in some ways, but there's people that really claim to the boss title, and there's people that believe that statement, like, you know, when in Star Trek, Jean-Luc Picard, so be it. Okay, I got it. But that's not life. That's a wonderful movie.
Right.
Yeah. But life is saying to people, do we want to do this? How do we want to do it? And to each one, what role do you feel you can make in where we're going? What expertise do you want to claim in this journey? And letting them develop. But when we're doing that, this is the scary thing for bosses. There's going to be failures. A good leader catches the failure early. And just as I see, a leader understands they're running a sailboat, not a motorboat. They're tacking the course. They're guiding it, giving what nature gives you. A boss believes the engines will do it.
Mm. That's interesting. I love your perspective. It really is. I mean, the analogies are tremendous, too, because it's so true. And you have a way of describing it all, Doctor, in a user-friendly, relatable way, which I think is essential and why you're so good at what you do, because people get it, they understand it, they put it to work. I guess once someone brings to your attention that there are best practices and there's such a thing as effective leadership and can really show you what it looks like, if you go back to work and you see that no one brings that alchemy of effective leadership, it can clarify a lot for you, right, about where you work and how you effectively want to spend those 40 to 50 hours a week?
Yeah, it does. And I can't often change people's leaders. I mean, sometimes they work with me and they go, well, can you coach my boss? I'm going, not unless your boss wants to be coached, you know, like, but I can explain how the boss maybe sees the world, and you can know that and protect yourself with that. But it doesn't mean that if you've got a poor boss, you have to be a poor boss.
Mm-hmm.
I've had terrible bosses
exactly.
and been a great leader. Yeah.
Exactly. Sometimes people actually, they go in the other direction and they don't want to follow suit in that way. They would rather become the leader and try a totally different approach because they see the mistakes that are being made elsewhere.
Absolutely.
The clients that you work with come from a variety of different backgrounds, different experiences.
Oh, of course. And different levels
of
management, different sizes of organizations, different technologies. Yeah. They do. And, you know, I've worked in banking, I've worked in retail, you know, I've worked in different areas, but that's not what I bring. I understand the people dynamics. And what I work with is their stories. You see, because I can question about their stories, but our stories are what we tell. We make our stories our reality, right? And so a leader works from their reality. So I work with their stories. Well, what if you saw this person with a different intent? What would, you know, so we work with that first. And then they start to explore. And it's, you know, what is really interesting is as you work deeper and deeper, they find the light and then they see more of their shadow, which is why, you know, growth is always challenging because what we don't like about somebody, what we can't accept neutrally is because we've got a bit of it in ourselves. And that's the self-awareness. You know, so I never do that. Really? Okay, well, you are right now. Oh, yes.
Right.
And so, you know, I just find that for me, I've had a lot of growth, and I know there's a lot more available, but if I have a softer hand who can laugh and smile at me while I go, oh, frig, I did that, I can be gentler with myself. And part of our problem in this development is we're not taught to be gentle with ourselves. We're taught to be perfectionists, and we need to be gentle with ourselves to grow.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all probably admit to that from time to time. And for myself, I've even said it's better to strive for excellence than it is for perfectionism, because perfectionism doesn't necessarily really exist. However, you can create excellence through
how
you carry yourself, through your work, through your vision, your passion. It changes the ball game a lot when you sort of shift that thinking from perfectionism striving to excellence striving, wouldn't you say?
You see, when we do perfectionists, we have one picture in our mind, and that limits you as leading. If we do excellence, we can have variations, right?
Right.
And if anything is needed with the rapid change is the leader's ability to be agile and go, oh, yeah, this is good. We can add this in. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And perfectionism is not agile, and it stops our adaption to change and what we're getting offered because we have a vision of this and we don't use what we have.
That is absolutely right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So what have you found, Doctor, is typically holding these clients back? What are their goals when they meet with you? Or do you sometimes have clients, who maybe don't even know what their goals are? And then do some of them hope that you create their goals for them?
Oh, absolutely. They find I don't.
Interesting question,
and, Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what to do. You know, well, what, you know, and they want to go often, sometimes, how we're taught is they want to go, well, I want a job that's going to pay me da-da-da. And I said, I don't give a damn what it pays because you will earn great money when you do what you're excellent at. So let's go back to where the energy is. And if you start low, too bad. If you work in your love, if you do what you love and you're open and agile to adapt, your career will build.
Mm-hmm. It's the law of attraction, too. People will feel that energy. They'll feel that passion, that credibility, the sincerity, the authenticity, and people will be attracted to that and want to work with you and want to be hired by you or want to do business with you, right?
Absolutely. That, and you said that word, that authenticity. So I have to help them find themselves so they can find some authenticity. I've had people switch from finance careers to craft beer. You know?
Yes. I have a lot of friends who've gone from corporate lawyers to massage therapists, and they enjoy it more because they're healing and helping others.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I've had seven different careers. Okay, and then people go, and when I was, my university called me up. I was in corporate banking and off of maternity leave and realized corporate banking required two nannies. I wasn't quite sure I could do that. And the universe would come and teach. I went, me teach? I'm the problem student. I always said, but in the real world, that doesn't work. He said, yeah, exactly. We want you to come in and teach. I thought it was crazy. And I loved it. Just loved it. But you see, it wasn't in my, I was going to be this MBA efficient at teaching. Yeah. Teaching gives me a bigger audience. So, you know, but I also coach my students, right? The classes are full of coaching.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I get to develop Absolutely. Young people and I get to develop more established people.
So would you say that it's really about getting them to be sort of self-leading and really great problem solvers on their own? They have to take responsibility. They have to be able to have the tools and resources, which you teach them, you coach them, you show them to have those, but they have to be able to then take all of that knowledge and be able to do it on their own.
Absolutely.
Because,
so
you know,
I say, what is your research this week? I don't say, here's the research.
Right. That's a big difference, right?
There's a big difference. And I love that difference because, to me, when you consult, you can do that. But sometimes consulting is creating a dependency. And I have a value of creating independence because I need you independent. You can go greater than me. I don't want you dependent on me.
Very important. It's not about holding the hand, absolutely. It's really showing them and giving them the tools and resources. So for folks listening, how does the process actually begin if somebody's listening to our show right now? And then can you also share a success story with us too?
Okay. So, yes, how it begins is they contact me, and so they contact me, and we chat, and they say, you know, I just don't feel, you know, whatever they're feeling at the time. Normally people reach out to a coach that they feel the coach can see them and support them, and they are going to be vulnerable for the first time for a lot of these people. You know, when you think of the executives, we've got oil executives that are, you know, they were VP, now they're director. What's happening in oil in Canada? Where is it going? Their careers are crashing, and they're reaching out with vulnerability. That's who reached me. And so I hope people feel that I honor their vulnerability. I know what it's like, and I honor that. And I also always believe there is a way. They will feel strong again. I just don't know what way they will feel strong. That's what we have to find out.
That's what you have to write, exactly. That's what you need to be able to find out. So you have a quick success story, too, maybe for us? Somebody that you've worked with who's really experienced great success?
And so the success stories are funny. So there's success stories of companies running 100%. They're just better. They're really alive. They're running. But really the success stories are people who decided that the path they took no longer served them. So I have an entrepreneur who was doing coaching, actually. She's now in insurance because her values were family. And so she went into, but when she first came to me, her values was a seven-figure income.
Yeah.
And it took us 6 months to get to values.
Right. Yeah, right.
And now she goes, I don't know what I would have done without you, because she didn't understand. She was feeling disconnected from herself. And then what she was feeling is disconnected from the people that were key to her. Well, of course, because she was doing an external value of money being the important thing instead of the values being the important thing. She's now making more money, by the way. But she's doing it in her values.
Different approach. Absolutely.
Because you're more effective
Scott,
when you're in your values.
You are, absolutely. I want to tell people the website for the Alchemist Professors. Again, it's thealchemistprofessors.com, and our very special guest is Dr. Signe Scott, creator of the Alchemist Professors. Dr. Scott, thanks for joining us on the show. We're wrapped. I can't believe it. The time has just flown by. It was a pleasure having you on with us today. And you'll be back next
Thank
week
you
as
so
well.
Much. Yes, I look forward
you
to that.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you
Thank
very
you
much.
So
our very special guest. And I'm Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio. Thank you for joining us as well. For all of us here, have a great day.